Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Fozzie Bear.
And you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and this is not the Muppet, not the real Muppet, right?
No. Don't get me started on him. He knows what
he stole your thunder originally, right? When you were trying to make it as a personality in the 70s.
Exactly, and then he swaggers on in all furry and hat wearing. And everybody loves him.
Yes. Well, the reason we got a guest host here is because Neil is off gallivanting in Sundance at the Sundance Film Festival, watching all the movies that he can then later not see during the week and say, "Oh no, I saw that way back at Sundance." Of course, half those movies don't get picked up, or most of them don't get picked
right.
up. So he's left saying, "Well, I saw 500 Days of Summer way back like 2 years ago in January." So, Fozzie, give us a little bit of history about yourself. Just let us know who you are, the audience. This is the first time you've been on Fat Guys proper.
Right, exactly. I've been on Second Reel a couple times. Well, I'm a blogger, and I used to write for a magazine. I used to write for a website. I used to write for TVgasm. That was my big deal. Wow. When I was writing for TVgasm, it's huge. You just might not have heard of it, but it is huge.
It's world famous in New York.
Well,
right?
when I was writing, there were only about 10 or 15 writers on TVgasm at the time, and we were featured in Entertainment Weekly. As one of the best websites, the snarkiest websites on the internet. So I'd like to think that had a big part to do with me.
I mean, one of the snarkiest websites on the internet. That is a badge of honor, my friend.
Exactly. There's a lot of snark out there, but we elevated it. We brought it to the next level. So it was reviews and recaps of television, and that was my big claim to fame. I don't do that anymore, but I blog at FozzieBear.com.
Great. Yeah. Well, you did us a service by coming in, even though you haven't seen any of the movies.
I know, pulling
that we're talking about. That's right. You know, I mean, well, it's standard for the co-host to not see anything.
Yeah, I can fake my way through it, though. I pretty much can understand what happened. So let's pretend that I did see him.
Yeah, you just give an opinion.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Oh, did you see those angel wings? Man, those were huge.
Well, great. Yeah, it's good to have Fozzie here with us. But a little bit of how to get a hold of us, for those of you who don't know, you can go to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes and just search Fat Guys, and our faces, well, Fozzie's face doesn't pop up. Not yet. but it's just me and Neil. Write us a review. Neil is always trolling for reviews, so, you know, write us a review. Write us a review and say how much you like Fozzie instead of Neil, and that'll get under his
skin. Oh, yeah.
You can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, and you can leave a voicemail at 614-388-8735. We may or may not have gotten a voicemail this week because Neil has hijacked the voicemail and taken it to Park City, Utah with him. So if you're in Austin, Texas, he's not in his house, so, you know, check him out. He's got a great DVD collection. Anyways, we're going to start off with the first review. Or is there anything you want to talk about just on the outside? Because I don't think this first review is going to take us very long, since neither of us saw it.
No, more people can follow me on Twitter. I'm a lot like you, too, where I want to have, I don't care, whiten my teeth, be Britney Spears.
What is it with the whitening of teeth on Twitter? Apparently, they must think that everybody has bad teeth. Who's on Twitter?
I know, it's not England, for crying out loud.
Although I do have quite a few British friends and online, so it's white teeth and mortgages and Britney Spears and Kevin Federline in intimate moments.
Right. I don't care. Those people can follow me, whatever. I just want to be famous.
That's right. And aside from, you know, kidnapping a celebrity, this is the best way to do it.
Exactly. I'm tired of being not famous. It's getting me nowhere fast.
what's your Twitter account?
It's Fozzie Bear, B-A-R-E, F-O-Z-Z-I-E, B-A-R-E.
That's right. Yeah. And you always tweet with very interesting pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Legion, when we get into this, I met a demon yesterday.
Wow.
So if you follow me on Twitter, you'll get to see the pictures of the demon that came into my office. Terrible.
Yeah, I haven't seen that because I missed that feed, so I'm very curious to see. Sort of like you described it to me off the air, and it reminds me a little bit of a People of Walmart .com kind of thing.
Well, the woman actually had fangs. I think there were just dentures that looked like fangs, but she was ghost white, big shocking like Slash from Guns N' Roses hair. She was wearing a big long trench coat. I expected her to start crawling on the ceiling and walls any second trying to take my unborn baby.
You have to understand, what were you carrying? Did you have one with you?
Well, I just had a big lunch.
Oh, well, there you go. But what's funny is She has dentures that look like fangs. Was that an option? That's what I wonder. Did they have a grill? You know, could she get the ghetto grill, or she could have gotten the vampire fangs?
I think they need to give more options to old people when they go in for dentures, so you can get like a grill. Wouldn't you like to see your grandma with like a big platinum tooth in the front?
Like, that would be hilarious. And she could have the giant Flava Flav medallion around her neck.
I want grandma's teeth all crunked out.
Yeah, well, and I have to say that it's even funnier. This is totally in bad taste, but you know, the older people who have dentures, who like maybe aren't totally there, you say, no, these are good dentures, and they're vampire fangs with blood dripping from them.
Oh, I love screwing with people like that. I had a friend who moved here from South Africa, and he knew nothing about American culture. So we messed with him the first couple of months. We told him that Christmas sweaters were huge, so we were buying him these big Christmas sweaters with like furry reindeers on them and little kittens.
In August?
Yeah. Like, no, everybody wears these. It's the biggest thing right now.
You're like, yes, when you ride the subway, you always go naked. Yeah. The people with the clothes on, they don't know anything about what's going on.
Exactly. That's how I get through the day.
Wow. Speaking of naked people on the subway, let's review our first movie, which has nothing to do with naked people on the subway. And that is Legion. Not Legion. It is not a movie about open source. It is Legion, when Paul Bettany stars as a demon, or an angel, excuse me. And the story is God, who's upset with the human race, sends his legion of angels to start the apocalypse at a small, out-of-the-way diner.
How far along are you?
Ah, just about there.
But a baby is gonna burn.
Oh.
Oh.
What?
I'd like you to apologize.
You're all gonna die!
The last time God lost faith in man, he sent a flood. This time, he sent the angels.
Now, you didn't see this.
Unfortunately, no.
I didn't see it.
No, I really want to, though. It was I saw Paranormal Activity 3 times at the theater, and twice this was a preview before it. And the preview definitely had me reeled in. You know, it looks like such a sweet little romantic comedy at the beginning at this diner. Yeah. There's the old lady, and then she's like, it'll all be over soon, and starts climbing around. It got me. I was hooked. I just haven't been able to see it yet.
Well, you know, they screened it in some places, because I've seen from other friends of ours on Twitter that they were giving away passes somewhere in America, though not in Ohio. They didn't screen it. I'm in Ohio, and you're in the Big Apple, right? Yeah, so I don't know, because I just know you're on cyberspace. But they didn't do it in Cleveland. They didn't do it in Cincinnati. They didn't do it in Columbus. And if they don't screen it there, they're not going to screen it in Ashtabula, Ohio. So I, and likewise, I kind of am interested about seeing this. But it's become sort of standard. I go to the midnight movies on Thursday nights, and it's just whatever horror movie comes out that they didn't screen, I'm usually there watching.
Well, I'm wondering if this movie, as innocuous as it seems, if they're worried about backlash, a religious backlash from it, because it does deal with some pretty heavy issues, and I know Ohio has a pretty strong Catholic and Christian population, right?
Yeah, well, you know what? It was funny. I mean, they screened Book of Eli, and that had religious overtones to it. But I don't know. They just I think it's more because it's a horror movie, and I think it's from Rogue. Not Rogue. It's from Screen Gems, isn't it? So they don't screen any of those. I mean, I had to go see Daybreakers a couple weeks ago. Got to go see Legion this week. I had to go see Spy Next Door last week. That was the horror movie I had to check out.
I'm terribly sorry.
Yeah, but we have to give it a preemptive suck. And we have to go to a break.
All right. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. This is Fozzie Bear, and you just heard us go through Legion, which neither of us saw.
Yes.
And so now we're going to move right along to Tooth Fairy.
Yes.
With Dwayne The Rock Johnson, plays a hockey player known for knocking teeth out of his opponents, who is forced to be a real Tooth Fairy for 2 weeks.
The Ice Wolves fans are just begging for a visit from the Tooth Fairy.
Meet Derek Thompson. He doesn't believe in fair play. And he doesn't believe in fairy tales.
My tooth is gone!
Let's just get this out of the way. There's no such thing as...
Oh, here it is.
But he's about to receive...
Mr. Thompson, you, sir, are guilty of killing dreams.
The ultimate penalty.
You are hereby ordered to serve time as a tooth fairy.
Now, you didn't see this one either.
No.
I can't
blame
you.
Will.
Well, you know what's funny is they're not billing him as The Rock anymore.
No, he dropped that, and it's unfortunate because I want to see Dwayne The Rock Johnson go back to action movies. I'm tired of this family crap that he's doing. I really do have big hopes for Dwayne Johnson. He's a good actor.
He is.
He's funny. He's likable. He's amiable on screen. He needs to get back to action movies or even a good romantic comedy, like something grown up. That's what he needs to do.
Well, I mean, he hasn't done that many. Well, he did a Game Plan. And now this one, but see he hasn't chosen some really good his movie action movies haven't been great choices. Even though I liked Walking Tall and I liked Gridiron Gang, they weren't your Schwarzenegger action movies.
No,
they weren't Die Hard with Bruce Willis. There were some mid list movies that you didn't expect to do super duper well. And it's a shame because I do think he's one of those few people that can move from, the sports arena into acting because he has a great screen presence. Unlike somebody like John Cena,
right?
Who's done a couple movies and he's not awful, but John Cena's. I mean, he's never going to be the big actor. I mean, the Rock reminds me a lot of Vin Diesel, and Vin Diesel did this face. He did the pacifier.
I always get that. For a second, I thought that Dwayne Johnson was in The Pacifier.
Oh.
So obviously, they are a lot alike.
Yeah. Well, that seems to be the thing. You get do a couple action movies, you get to be a big star, and then you do the romantic comedy really what it is it's not they don't go and do romantic comedies. I mean, Schwarzenegger really didn't do romantic comedies. Vin Diesel didn't do romantic comedies. He went and did family stuff. And I think that seems to be what it is. Jackie Chan just did The Spy Next Door last week.
Right. Well, I can see Dwayne Johnson as a leading man, though. I'd love to see him. I'd like to see a revitalization of the romantic comedy. Like right now, we have stuff like, what, two weeks or whatever that movie is? Leap year.
Well, this is January.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there hasn't been a good romantic comedy, and I'm a sucker for that. I like romantic comedies if they're done well. Like, you know, Pretty Woman is like the iconic romantic comedy. So if we can get something exactly that good, Dwayne The Rock Johnson needs to do it.
Well, and you know, a lot of that, I think it's not necessarily that the writing's not there. It's the actor or the actress, because you had Julia Roberts, and she did this string. She did crap, but she did this string of decent romantic comedies. You had like My Best Friend's Wedding, and Pretty Woman, the stuff she did with Gary Marshall and Runaway Bride. And then you had Reese Witherspoon. She kind of inherited the reins, and she did a bunch of, I thought, really cute one, because I like them, and Drew Barrymore did a bunch, but they've kind of moved on from those,
right?
And we really don't have the next big romantic comedy. They were trying to do it with Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson, right?
And
she was a big letdown, wasn't she? I expected such bigger things from her.
Well, you know what? She doesn't do comedy. She doesn't do sort of like that slapstick comedy very well.
No, they tried to force her into it, which was just uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she's not a bad actor, but like in Bride Wars and Fool's Gold, which I thought both of those were passable, but they weren't, like you said, iconic. They weren't ones that were just really sweet. I take my wife loves romantic comedy, so I take her to those when I get a chance, and there really isn't any good ones. I think they're trying to groom Amy Adams for them, which is what they do with Leap Year, but that didn't do terribly well because it got crushed by Avatar.
Right. And
the other romantic.
And also, I've heard it wasn't good. I haven't seen that. I don't think she's cut out for romantic comedies either, because she's a great actress. Even in a movie like what was the Cinderella movie where she,
Enchanted?
Enchanted. She kind of elevated that movie. That could have been easily a throwaway movie that nobody went to see. But I think that she brought something a little extra special to it, which made it better than it possibly should have been. But when they shoehorn her into these romantic comedies, that's not her shtick. She belongs in Doubt. She did great in Doubt.
Yeah.
And
well, that was a romantic comedy. There was romance there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Wasn't there? I don't know.
But couldn't you just picture Dwayne The Rock Johnson in the red dress getting a necklace and somebody slaps his hand with the box? That's what I want to see.
That would be awesome.
They need to do Pretty Woman 2 with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and not Toothpick.
Yes.
There.
And he could
movie
play.
Written.
He could. There you go. Yeah, Hollywood hooker by night, hockey player by day.
Exactly.
Falls in love with a rich businessman. I mean, there you go.
It writes
itself. You said, it writes itself.
It does.
Exactly. Anyway, no, I do think Amy Adams, she needs to be she has to have something, have a little more quirk to it, that it's not, she's not as a straightforward, just a sweet little actor. She has a little bit, there's something extra there that you need to exploit, so to speak.
Right.
But anyways, getting back to Dwayne.
Yes.
In the Tooth Fairy. Here's the thing. It's for a kid's movie. It was okay. I was watching it and I said to myself, you know, this feels like the Santa Claus 4. It really feels like another Santa Claus movie. And then they rolled the credits, and you know who directed it?
Ooh.
Michael Lembeck, who directed Santa Claus 2 and Santa Claus 3. So that's why it really has that feel, you know, and has that thing of the, you know, the childhood fantasy character, you know, and magical character brought to life. And, you know, he goes to the real world part of their life where they're working in a workshop kind of thing. So it really follows that same pattern as the Santa Claus movies. And it has that same feel to it. Now, Dwayne Johnson, I like him as an actor, and I think he can do comedy, but he has to do the right kind of comedy. He actually excels at the somewhat self-deprecating, look at me, and I'm being an idiot here, or I'm falling over, or I'm in a silly situation. He works there, but being sort of like the interactive one-on-one comedy, he just doesn't have that. He can't do the banter, and that's where his comedy falls apart. Although it has some great parts. I mean, it has, like, Billy Crystal has this part in it that's absolutely hilarious. Seth MacFarlane has this cameo in the movie, and I was just like, wow, where'd he come from? Julie Andrews is in it, and what's his name? Stephen, his name's escaping me, but a real thin British comedian, he's on, I think he might be on The Office, I don't know. I don't know where he's from, but I've seen him before. Yeah. He was in Invention of Lying, actually, which we'll talk about later. So, I mean, there's parts of it that are very funny that I laughed, but there's also parts that just kind of fall flat that don't work.
Well, I mean, he's proven that he can do great comedy, like Be Cool. He was the best part of Be Cool.
He was awesome.
Yeah. Cool. And you're right. It wasn't really banter. He was self-deprecating. He was making a fool of himself. And on Saturday Night Live, he's done the same thing when he played, I think one of the most memorable skits is when he played Superman or Clark Kent, not knowing that people knew. You know, and he was just...
Do you remember his glasses?
He had, you know, his Superman shirt was sticking out from underneath his shirt, and his cape was hanging out, and he thought that he was being so suave about it, but everybody knew and was making jokes about it, and that's what he did best at, like, playing the goofy idiot, because he's a big goofy idiot, and he should play
there
that. Well, how is Julie Andrews?
She was okay. I mean, she's so iconic now. You just throw her in the role as sort of like the British, you know, hoity-toity woman, and it works, and she does it very well. But again, I mean, she's not doing SOB anymore.
I wonder if she's just dying inside because, you know, she can't sing anymore. And she was the biggest star in the world for quite a while. But now that she's had the surgery, she can't sing.
Oh,
and she's like, this is what I've been reduced to.
It's killing her. Cause she went in Princess Diaries 2, she did sing and you could tell the difference. It just, her voice was ruined. And that's sad. But I'm going to go ahead and rate this cause we got to hit our next movie here. We only got a minute, but that's okay. But the Tooth Fairy, I'm just going to say it kind of sucks. But, I mean, if you got kids, take them to see it, you know. Could go worse, you know. So that's the... and then... So the next movie is Extraordinary Measures, in which Brendan Fraser plays a father whose daughter is dying of a disease and Indiana Jones has found a possible cure.
I wish that we had a drug to treat Pompeii, but we simply don't. I'm sorry.
Dr. Stonehill.
Yeah.
This is John Crowley.
All the researchers out there say that you're a genius on the verge of a scientific breakthrough.
I'm not on the verge of anything.
How much would it take to prove your theory?
The odds against you are crushing. So where does that leave your kids when the dad has no job and no health insurance?
You're right. This is crazy. But I can't just sit around and wait for my kids to die.
Again, in the spirit of Neil, you didn't get to see this.
No.
Let's put it this way. Think My Sister's Keeper without the really morose yanking at the heartstrings type thing. I mean, it's got the kids with disease, so it's very deliberate, but it's somewhat lighthearted, although it's kind of hard to make a movie about working in a lab exciting.
Yeah, I can see
that makes sense.
Did he bring his whip? If he brought his whip, I could see that being exciting. Is there a crystal?
No. But he growls. I mean, it's like you could have put Clint Eastwood in this. He's like, I just want to yell at you right now. So I'm gonna say kind of sucks for this one.
That's a shame.
All right, we gotta go to a break.
hard road. 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Yeah.
Well, and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in the third segment. We've reviewed our films. It didn't have a whole lot to say about Extraordinary Measures, because, you know, it's CBS Film's debut film. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Viacom had created a division, CBS Films, because that seems to be the way companies are going. Well, Fox doesn't matter, because they've been called Fox before they had TV
right.
station. But you have ABC is going to all their TV shows are ABC Studios production. They're really branding it with those names. So now it's CBS Films, which I guess is, I don't know if it's sort of trying to differentiate itself from Paramount.
Well, it seems like, are they going to stick with like the CBS brand? Is it all going to be shows for my mom and grandma?
Yeah, it's going to be Murder, She Wrote, the big screen
yeah,
version.
Yeah, exactly. CSI big screen.
Well, but that's what this felt like. This really felt like a TV movie.
Right.
Put on the big screen, and like I said, although it was, even it was, it did its job. It's not my kind of film, but I saw that I knew this movie from the title, and that was it, because I look like 2 weeks ahead for movies. I'm not one of these people that are like, oh, you know, Thor is coming out in 2014
right.
or whatever. I look at it saying, oh, in 2 weeks we've got the Wolfman coming out or something like that. So I just knew this from the title, and I'm like, oh, this might be a good movie from the title, because I'm literally almost judging a book by its cover, and because it reminded me of this movie from about 15 years ago with Hugh Grant and Gene Hackman, I think, called Extreme Measures, which was a thriller. Do you remember this movie?
No, but it reminded me of the movie with Michael Keaton and Andy Garcia in the hospital. It has a very similar title too.
Oh,
I remember Michael Keaton is a criminal, and he has to give Andy Garcia's son a transplant.
Oh, yeah.
And he slides down the elevator shaft using the paddles somehow.
I never saw that, but I remember that's one of those movies where it's like anybody in the entire city can die a horrible death as long as this guy's son gets his kidney.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is.
Exactly. So this does seem like the title seems like it harkens back to a day when all the titles were the same. Final extreme measure analysis basic.
Yeah. I was expecting this like 90s era action thriller, and it's a let's cure this child's disease, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Well, one thing I can say about it, not to harp on it too long, but Brendan Fraser has not aged a day in 20 years, has he?
He's gotten a little lumpy.
Really? Judging?
Yeah, his face is...
Well, I admire his career, though. I admire any actor who will just do anything. Sure, whatever. Save a kid, whatever. 3D dinosaur, sure.
He's one of those guys that you can't say he's good at anything, but he's enjoyable to watch. And my favorite movies of his to watch are stuff like the Mummy movies and New Line, that's the company that did it. The Journey to the Center of the Earth, which you mentioned.
Right.
But as like a serious actor, and it's weird because I'll come out and I'll say, well, he's not that good of an actor in the series. And then somebody will be like, well, what about The Quiet American? I'm like, well, yeah, you're right. He was good.
Right.
That.
And was it Monster? No.
Monsters?
No.
Gods and Monsters. Wasn't that?
Yeah.
I never saw that, but that's where he was like all buffed out.
Right.
On that one.
It was a subtle performance, and he did a good job in that movie. So he can do well.
Yeah, I think he needs to be directed.
Yeah.
I think if you just... Because this one, he wasn't very... The directing wasn't very good in this. So, I mean, like you said, you had Harrison Ford barking through the whole movie, talking like this, just mad at people. He's all upset. And then Brendan Fraser, he was acting his guts out, but not in a good way. I mean, there's a scene where he comes into a room and he starts crying, and I literally almost broke up.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
Yeah. And Carrie Russell's in it, and she's completely wasted.
Well, at least she has her hair back. That's all people care about.
No, but she doesn't. It's not curly. She, like, did a flat iron thing.
Oh, then she's dead to me.
Anyway.
I have no Carrie Russell.
No Carrie Russell. Shay, you're still bitter about the whole Felicity cutting her hair.
No, yeah, I'm still not over it. I still blog about it all the time.
I reviewed Felicity on DVD. I for some reason I only got sent the third and fourth season, so it was after the whole hair cutting incident, and I hated that
show.
Yeah,
it wasn't a good show, but I think I'm one of the stupid Americans who tuned in for the hair. I loved her hair. It was so great. And still, I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh, the hair, oh, it was just a nightmare.
Well, she looked so beautiful, and then like boom, she's a boy. Yeah. You know, it's like Natalie Portman.
Exactly. Yeah, like, oh, she's like, just a 12-year-old boy, aren't you? I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's the worst feeling. That's such a shock to guys.
Well, let's talk real quick about box office from this week. Big surprise, Avatar won. Ooh, big surprise, Avatar won. And Book of Eli did respectable. It did pretty well. If Avatar wasn't there, I don't think it would have broken any records, because I think Paul Blart held the record until Avatar for Martin Luther King's Day came in and made over $50 million. But Book of Eli did very well, and then it was The Lovely Bones, which I heard was playing very well to teenage girls.
Yeah, they've marketed it that way. Have you noticed they changed the marketing completely?
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, living in New York, this movie has been about to come out for like a month now, because they did release it here and they started showing the previews. And then when they actually pushed it back, then they started showing the nationwide previews. So I can't get away from this movie. I feel like I have to see it now.
It's not bad. It's just, you know, it was one of those, definitely, like, it's like Peter Jackson saying, I need to do my chance for Oscar this week, you know,
and failing miserably. Right.
Yeah, it has Mark Wahlberg in it. I like Mark Wahlberg is like simultaneously an awesome actor and like one of the worst actors on the
planet.
Well,
I didn't see any chinks in his armor, so to speak, until The Happening, which I had liked him up until then, but that was just awful.
I love that.
All
bad acting all over the place. But it was awesome.
I'm an apologist for Shyamalan, and I've loved everything he did. And people were saying, "Oh, it's horrible." I'm like, "Shut up, you don't know," because I like Lady in the Water. I did enjoy that movie.
I loved Lady in the Water.
So I was
you and me, the two guys on the planet who loved this movie.
I was excited to see this movie, but that was just a turd. And he just whispered his way through it. He's like, "Oh, what's going on? I don't know." Oh, and he had that high, awful voice.
Well, that's what he does in everything. There are certain actors who I you've never heard me say this, but I've said this on the show before. I would love to someday take and do a Shakespeare play, for film, and like do a Die Hard series, and like cast it with people like Steve Zahn and Mark Wahlberg, people who, and like Keanu Reeves, and like could you imagine Steve Zahn doing Hamlet, doing the To Be or Not to Be?
Actually, I can. Yes.
That would be awesome. To be or not to be, man.
Right.
That's the question. Whether 'tis nobler in mind, you know, and he'd sound like Michael J. Fox at puberty, you know.
Exactly.
And do something like Othello with Mark Wahlberg in blackface. That movie would make no money, but
You're asking for trouble, Kevin.
That would be awesome. You know, I mean, just the worst casting ever. For anybody, but to convince them that they're doing awesome work.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like that old reality show where it was like the American Idol, the fake American Idol, where they got the worst singers in and kept telling them how awesome they are.
Oh,
that's what
I miss.
Oh,
that
it was amazing. You know how everybody thinks they're great going into American Idol anyway, and so they got those delusional people and brought them in, and when they would sing something, you know, the Star Spangled Banner, and just and rip it apart, they would be like, "That moved me to my core," and they moved them on, and they did like an entire series. So we should make a movie like that. Just get the worst actors in, and just keep telling them how great they are, and fill their head with Oscar dreams.
Yeah, Hamlet, starring Steve Zahn as Hamlet, and you could have like Steven Seagal play his father or his stepfather. And you know, I don't know who would you get to play the woman. I mean, the queen, who his mother. I'm at a loss.
I am.
You know, for somebody who would be just craptastically awesome.
Well, hard for me to pick, because I like everybody. I don't usually see like really bad acting in a lot of people, because even I think I loved Jennifer's Body, and I think that who everybody hates, Megan Fox. I think she's a fine actress.
She could play Hamlet's
mother. There we go. That's the casting.
You're like, okay, I will admit that would be entertaining
watch. I would see that movie. I want to go to there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's move on with it after this wonderful discussion about, I don't know how we got on that. It was Lovely Bones.
No, I blacked out for a couple of minutes. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
But we have a Fat Guy 5 to throw down here. In honor of Legion, Legions in the Desert. It's five diner horror movies is what I'm calling it. because these are, because what I think is so funny is that they said, we're going to start the apocalypse. No, we're not going to have the apocalypse in, like, you know, Los Angeles or San Francisco or New York City or Chicago or somewhere huge and significant. No, we're going to have it at this out of the way diner.
Well, it goes back to that.
We're starting with a dozen people.
It goes back to that line in The Faculty, though. Like, if you were going to take over the world, would you blow up the White House Independence Day style, or would you sneak in through the back door? Which shows what a big nerd I am, because I remember that exact line from Elijah Wood.
you're like that awesome line from The Faculty. You're like quoting it, like you're you're like quoting Caddyshack.
Like,
or
you were just quoting
like
Shakespeare.
That.
I'm quoting The Faculty.
Well, I guess you're right. So, because apparently they've done evil has come to diners before, and not just diners, but sort of out of the way places, and because there may or may not, there's a lot of diners. Although it's odd because there's a lot of diners in this list. So I'm going to start off the first one, which is Tales from the Crypt: Demon Night, in which Billy Zane playing a demon comes after people at. It's a diner, but it's one of those like rest stops. It's basically Satan coming to a rest stop, which again, he's setting the bar low.
Right. Have you been to some rest stops? There's quite a few demons there already.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you a rest stop story. I was in Death Valley with a friend of mine, we were trying to find Death Valley, and we drove out of LA, and I fell asleep, and I wake up, and we don't know where we are. And I'm like, where are we? He goes, I don't know. We're lost in the middle of North Central California. And we stop at this rest stop, and I go in to go to the bathroom, and I go in the bathroom, and I wee wee, and see, I talk like a child. and then after I'm done, I zip up. I go to the sink, and there's this big sign on the mirror that says, "Warning: this water was tested positive for fecal cholera on this date," which was like 2 weeks ago. It says, "Do not drink." And I'm like, drink it? I'm not washing my hands on that. Are you kidding me? It's not the best option, but it's at least I know where my junk has been.
Right. I wonder if they legally had to tell you that or if they were just bragging. Oh, what? You got fecal cholera? Like, didn't think so.
Yeah, you don't have this back home.
Right?
You don't have fecal cholera in your water back east.
Suck it, nerds.
All right. Next one. Let's do
the next one
here. Yours
I love the next movie, Feast. The original Feast. Did you see this movie?
Okay. The original, not like the sequel. The sequel wasn't
The sequel was horrid. I actually turned the sequel off. I was disgusted with it. But the original one was one of the most unique, funny, actually scary horror movies that I had seen in years. I'll give it that title. Did you get to see it? Did you get to see Feast?
I saw it. I saw it in the theater, actually. They showed it. They showed it to press, and there was somebody there with a 4-year-old child.
Ooh, that's not good. Especially if they see the sequel. Kids don't do well in the sequel.
Yeah. My favorite part of Feast was Eric Dane.
Yes, exactly. And I love how they set up these archetypes, and then they just like knock them down, and they say, these are the horror movie conventions, but we're not going to follow that. This is what you should.
Well, and the other thing that this one did irritate me is it had Krista Allen, who I think is totally gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But she was basically like, she was the prostitute at this thing. And I've been to these out-of-the-way rest areas, and I've seen women that I'm like, that's probably a prostitute. Mm-hmm. They don't look like Krista.
Oh, no. No, they're all...
They look like you
and
me.
There's a reason they call them lot lizards.
Exactly.
But beyond that, Feast is a great movie. I highly recommend it. However, do not see the sequels.
Okay. I will avoid those in interest of qualities. Next one's yours, too, because I haven't seen this, and I'm not laying claim to having had seen it.
You know, and it's funny, too. I don't know if I've seen it, but it's a delicatessen. I do remember. I remember listening about this movie on a podcast, and I'm like, oh, that's great. I got to get it. And I think I got it from Netflix. I popped it in, and it's French. And I think I might have tuned out or fell asleep. However, it does take place at a diner, and it's a horror movie. So go see it. You'll love it.
Okay. Right. It's by the guy who did City of Lost Children and Alien Resurrection.
Which I just watched recently, The City of Lost Children. And
not Alien Resurrection.
No, well, yeah, actually, I watched that yesterday, surprisingly.
Boobies on an alien just doesn't
I know.
Work.
But in City of Lost Children, this is the first time I had seen it. What a stinker. Man. And it goes,
really?
I think maybe it's just because I'm after the hype, and everybody had talked about it for years. But but I finally saw it, and I was like, what was that about? Just because it's boring and stupid doesn't make it good. But... I know I'm in the minority there, but
that was my job at school. I'd be like, hey, just because I'm boring and stupid doesn't mean I don't deserve a good grade.
Right? Yeah, that's in my personal ad. Boring and stupid, get at me. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on, Maximum Overdrive. This was a craptastic movie starring Emilio Estevez about a Stephen King story about trucks coming to life. And it is the one and only movie actually directed by Stephen King. And in the trailer,
yeah,
he promises to scare the hell out of you.
Well, I love that he was like, in an interview, he was like, you know, directors haven't known what to do with my stuff. I'm going to take my own stuff and I'm going to show you exactly how terrifying it can be. And and then it sucked. He's like, oh.
Yeah,
my bad.
And he picks like the worst story. He doesn't pick one of his iconic classic awesome. He didn't like pick at the time. I don't think they'd made Pet Sematary, which was one of his most terrifying books. He's like, no, I'm not going to take this book that was too scary for me to finish, and his wife literally got it out of the trash and made him finish it. No, I'm going to take this crappy little story called Trucks, and I'm going to have the Green Goblin, and I'm going to play the role, and we're going to have Lisa Simpson stuck in a diner. And she's going to be the sexiest girl on the entire movie. No, I mean, it was bad. But it was in a diner, and it's a horror
movie.
So
it counts.
Yes. And the last one, you want to take the last one?
I would love to take the last one, because...
This seems like your kind of movie.
It's one of my all-time favorite movies. I always describe my favorite movie as where a brilliant yet beautiful blank has to team with a rough and grizzled blank to stop a giant blank from destroying blank. And this movie totally fits into that. It's Tremors.
With Steven Seagal.
No, with Kevin Bacon.
And Fred Ward.
Fred Ward, yeah, exactly. I saw this at the theater, and I was blown away, and then I saw it two more times in the theater. And on my blog, FozzieBear.com, I've actually given it a five Fozzie heads.
This is a five Fozzie,
it
huh?
It's one of the most enjoyable, funniest, scariest movies I've ever seen.
It's great to see with an audience.
It is, and I was at Horror Hound Weekend in Cincinnati recently, which you weren't able to attend, but Michael Gross was there, still riding high on the fame of this with horror fans, because he just did, I think, Tremors 19, and he's the star of this one.
Well, it's either that or Family Ties. Those are his choices.
Yeah, right, but that's scary in its own right with Tina Yothers. She had an awkward phase.
Tina Yothers, oof. Yeah, the sister of Corey Bumper Yothers, who was in Dreamscape.
It all comes back, doesn't it?
Yes.
Full circle.
Well, and you know the other thing with is Reba McEntire's in this.
Yeah,
scene.
And she did a great job. I think that might have been her first acting role, right? Wasn't it?
It was one of the first times you really saw her on screen. Yeah, she hadn't. I don't think she may have done other things, but yeah, it was her first big thing.
Because then she went on to get her own sitcom, and I loved it. I really did.
Which I loved that.
I
sitcom.
Did too.
I loved.
It's a good thing during that period that I was home alone every single Friday night, so I could watch it.
Well, I would be sent the DVDs from I think it was a Fox property. I don't know what it aired on, like WB or whatever, but I got it from Fox. And I love that show. And Neil gave, because I just reviewed one of the last season last year, and Neil gave me such crap for that. But I'm like, no, damn it. Reba was a good show.
Yeah, let me like what I like. It doesn't hurt you for me to like that. It's enjoyable.
That's
She's
awesome.
Great.
Wow. Well, we're way over time talking about Reba McEntire.
So this is the third segment, right? We can swear here?
Go ahead and drop something if you
balls.
Want.
There.
Balls.
I feel better.
All right.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. This is Fozzie, and we just went through our world-famous... Fat Guy 5.
Yes.
Now we're moving on to our equally world famous DVD Roundup.
You really drew that one out there.
Exactly.
Suspense.
I wanted dramatic pause.
Because nobody knew what was coming in the fourth segment.
Exactly. And I actually forgot what was coming in the fourth segment. So, but it sounds like I'm just being all dramatic, but I actually had no idea where I was.
That's okay. That happens to me every weekend.
Yeah, I'm a little lost this morning. I actually just woke up. You do record early. Every time I'd listen to Neil, I'd be like, shut up, Neil. It can't be that early.
Well, and he's an hour ahead, too. So
yeah.
No,
exactly.
It's rough, and I was up late last night myself. So, But and that's what my excuse. So
yeah.
Anyways, do you want to go first, or you can go first on the DVD? I always have a whole ton of stuff because, you know, I'll plug anything that a studio sends me.
Good. I love you. You're such a shill. I only have a couple. I only have like three here, actually.
Sure.
The first one is The Invention of Lying, coming to DVD. Finally. Seems like this has been a while, right?
No,
they really delayed this one.
It was like September.
September,
I think. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. They're so quick to market, though.
Yeah, well, there's like a 92-day gap now or something like that. And usually if it doesn't come out exactly within that time, I think there's something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm so conditioned to expect movies on the dot.
Except for seasonal stuff like Halloween, like horror movies a lot of times they'll release at Halloween or Christmas movies at Christmas.
Right, exactly. So this one had no reason to delay. It just seemed like it went a little longer than it should, but I didn't get to see it at the theater, but I'm really looking forward to it because I'm a huge Ricky Gervais fan, and I'm also a big Jennifer Garner fan. I like her a lot.
Okay.
I think she's very likable, so I want to see this. I want to see where it goes.
Did you see Ghost Town?
No, I didn't see that one either.
Well, you should see that. It's a good little movie of his. His theatrical movies so far haven't quite caught on because he's got a bizarre sense of humor that isn't quite mainstream America.
Well, right. I think it was over at your friends on Film School Rejects. They were talking about this movie, The Invention of Lying, and they said that Ricky Gervais has really made a career out of people hating him and hating himself, too.
Yeah.
And I think that we're used to that. You know, we're used to self-deprecation, but he might push it a little bit too far, and it makes people uncomfortable. But I love it.
Well, yeah. And he also makes an art form out of stammering. He's like Hugh Grant, where he could just not say he could be talking, but not say anything coherent for 30 seconds, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. So I like that kind of work.
The Invention of Lying, what's good about it is like the first half is absolutely brilliant because it's just people saying the most awkward things to each other. And it just has, and Rob Lowe is hilarious in it because he's a smarmy, good-looking dude. So it like sort of tries to put a story to it and kind of, it's sort of like Office Space where the setup's really awesome and then they try and do something with the story and it kind of crumbles a little bit, but it's still very funny. I mean, Louis C.K. there's a scene in there, and you see part of it in the trailer, where he's just lying to Louis C.K. at the bar. Well, that goes on even longer, and like Philip Seymour Hoffman's in that scene. It's really pretty funny.
Well, a lot of times that happens with movies. Like, what was that movie with Tina Fey where they went to the beach? Spring Breakdown something like that. Yeah, when they tried to shoehorn a story in, you're like, no, don't give me a story. Just keep going with the funny.
Yeah, but Spring Breakdown wasn't a bad movie.
No, it wasn't. But I think the story at the end of it, they could have done without it completely.
Yeah, they didn't.
It would have been
just
as good.
They didn't.
Yeah. But moving on to my second pick is 30 Something, season 2, coming to DVD. I loved 30 Something. Even as a kid, as a 12-year-old kid, I was enamored with 30 Something.
Peter Horton and his beard, man.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted a beard just like that
and
when I
grew up. And the long hair, man.
Yeah.
That was never attractive, was it?
No. But I loved the show. You know, a friend of mine went out of town when I was like 18. He was going on a ski trip, and we used to spend all our time together. We used to, you know, we'd do everything. And he was going to be gone for like a week. And I was like, well, what do I do with myself? So I started talking to his mom, and she had every season of 30-something on VHS that she recorded on TV.
Oh,
I was like, I am set. So there I am, like 18, sitting with this 45-year-old woman, eating popcorn and watching 30-something.
Wow.
Yeah, love that show.
Awesome.
My last pick for the week is Outrage, the documentary.
Now, what's that about? I'm not familiar with it.
I did get to see this at the theater. It's the same director who did this film is not yet rated.
Okay.
I can't remember his name. It's the same director, and he's talking about closeted politicians and how they vote against GLBT rights and stay in the closet just to side with their peers and advance. And it actually outs a lot of people, which I know that there are differing opinions on outing in the political and Hollywood, in politics and Hollywood. But the movie handles it deftly. Too, and it's really well done, and it brings up some interesting questions and interesting points.
Okay.
I think everybody should see it.
So that's not on DVD this week.
Yes.
Definitely check that out. I'm going to quickly rip through mine here, because I got a lot. Gamer with Gerard Butler. Not that great of a movie, but the Blu-ray is really cool. It has this awesome visual commentary. So definitely check that one out if you're going to get it on Blu-ray. Weed Season 5 is out with Mary Louise Parker selling Doobie to the soccer moms. and then Universal's released all the Bourne movies in this flip disc where it's got Blu-ray on one side and DVD on the other because the studios are trying to package everything so you don't have to buy, you don't have to double buy. This is an option. It's kind of cool. It's a double-sided disc, but it has both versions. You have Smokin' Aces 1 and 2. On Blu-ray. You've got Magnolia and Boogie Nights, P.T. Anderson's movies are out new on Blu-ray. You've got White Out with Kate Beckinsale, which wasn't a bad movie. It didn't deserve all the hate it got. And then two quick comedy DVDs, Aziz Ansari. He was on Parks and Recreation, and he was on Scrubs last year. He's got a DVD, Intimate Moments of Sensual, for the Sensual Evening. And Artie Lang is out with a DVD, Jack and Coke. So those are all a bunch to check out. Got a lot of stuff this week. We got to wrap up real quick. Legion was a preemptive suck. Tooth Fairy, I said, and Extraordinary Measures, I said, kind of sucked. And you couldn't disagree.
I haven't seen anything, so I think they're all great. Go see them all.
Go see them all. I love them all. Yeah. Next week, we'll be talking about When in Rome and Edge of Darkness. We'll see who's going to be with me next week. And then, if you want to catch us, fatguysinthemovies.com.
This is Fozzie. I had a great time. Thanks for having me on.